God bless you. God bless you. I'm excited to teach today and to share from the Word of the Lord. We started a series a couple of Sundays ago called Hunger, and I'm not in a hurry in this series. I know May has become one of the busiest months around the church. Of course, Mother's Day, and then honoring graduates today, and church picnic next Sunday. But I'm gonna sit right here for just another couple of weeks or few weeks. I really don't know. I don't have it planned out in my mind. I just know where my heart is right now, and I sense where your heart is as well. And here's what I've noticed about hunger. It always returns. I don't know about you. I've enjoyed maybe a fantastic meal or a good dinner with friends or something fantastic, and I've made those declarations. I'm so full, I'm not eating a bite tomorrow. And it seemed like you wake up the next morning more hungry than normal after you just ate all that food, seemed like just a few hours ago. Hunger always returns. You never quite get it satisfied. You never quite get it settled. And the truth is, you're going to spend a significant portion of your life hungry. You're going to spend a lot of time in life just eating, sitting around a table, preparing food, cleaning up a kitchen, just all of these things that have to do with satisfying our hunger. And I think that's true spiritually as well. I don't ever want to get to the place, as long as I've done this, as long as I've been a part of this, as long as I have been invested into church and into the work of the Lord, you just never quite get satisfied. You're reaching for something else. You're wanting just a little more, and that sort of defines hunger. That sort of situates hunger as it is in our lives. And I know I'm charging graduates today, and certainly teaching and preaching to everyone with ears to hear today, but I really do want Ramiah Branch and Cohen Kitchens to hear me loud and clear today, and allow this word to find the good ground of your heart, the soil of your spirit, so that it can be rooted right there and something begin to grow and something begin to mature in your life, because I know the two of you and others in this room, you're feeling excitement and a great sense of accomplishment. I hope you're feeling a great sense of accomplishment and knowing that this is a moment to celebrate. But I want to remind you today, I want to charge you today and remind all of us about the importance of your next steps. Because in spite of the excitement and the parties and checking the mail each day to see if auntie or cousin or people far and wide have mailed you a card and remembered to put something inside that card. Regardless of all of that, probably feeling some pressure as well. Feeling a little bit of pressure about what's next. I'm just honest with you today, I can't shield you from that. I can't shield you from feeling pressure. I mentioned it a moment ago that maybe moms and dads will allow you to have a little break or just, catch your breath, but it's not going to be long. It's not going to be very many days before you start feeling this certain pressure. This certain pressure. I just broke out of a cocoon, and now I am expected to fly. I just broke out of this long, long process, this educational process, and now I'm on to yet another level or another dimension or set time of education, still growing, still becoming, still trying to figure out how I'm going to do all of this. You're going to have to start cooking for yourself, and that's scary. Because you're about to get to know ramen noodles and Hot Pockets and cereal. Nothing wrong with cereal. Jesus blessed those who hunger and thirst in Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So this question comes to us again. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Our graduates may say, I'm hungry for a break. I'm hungry for some rest. Or maybe I'm hungry for adulthood. I'm hungry for righteousness, or I'm hungry for right things. I've found that right things are usually connected to God things in my life, because there is a hunger for Him. There is an appetite for Him, and our appetites will determine how great our lives become. I want you to think about that just a moment. Our appetites will determine how great our lives become. I know there's some well beyond graduates in this room, some folks who are just a little bit seasoned in life that can testify to the truth of that statement, because maybe you had an appetite for things that took you this direction, or an appetite for things that took you that direction. It was a wrong road. It was a wrong turn. It was a season of heartbreak. It was a season of difficulty or challenge, and you had to rein that in and say, wait a minute, I know I've got an appetite for that. I know I crave that, but that is not good for me. So I have to rein that in and discipline myself, or otherwise my life is going to be in jeopardy. I'm inviting confusion and struggle and challenge into my world that I just don't need. It's just not necessary. So our appetites ultimately determine how great our lives become. And I want you to see something today in John chapter 6. I've been in this chapter a little bit already in this series, but I it really is a life chapter. I love the book of John. It is my favorite book of the Bible, if I can say that, because I love the Word of God. But there's something special and unique about the relationship that John had with Jesus, and so I love how descriptive he is. I love how telling he is. I love how honest he is in his writing. But I want to just highlight a little bit from this story today, and allow our graduates to feel this, allow all of us to feel this. But look at John chapter 6, beginning at verse number 5. The Bible said that when Jesus looked up, he was seeing a great crowd coming toward him. He looks up and sees this crowd of people. He sees a need coming toward him. He sees people with problems, people with issues, people with challenges in their lives. People who are stumbling, people who are wrestling, people who are navigating, people who are trying to figure it out. When he looks up, he sees this great crowd coming toward him. Just gonna tell you, in my opinion, the need in this season is unlike any other time that I've known. People have needs. And these needs are on another level. There is so much happening. There is so much spiritually happening. I'm not going to take time to delve into all of those details, but people are feeling this pressure like never before. And all of these needs that are among them, Jesus sees this crowd, and the Bible numbers them 5,000 plus people. In fact, the Bible says 5,000 men, and I have argued for many years that there were well more than 5,000 people there, because the Bible specified men, and you weren't considered a man until age 30, and then women and kids. There's thousands and thousands of people that Jesus sees coming his direction. The disciples, those that are there, they can't possibly know all of the needs. And so the best need to begin with is to address their hunger. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these people to eat?" Where should we buy bread that these people can eat? I may have a list of needs. I may have a list of issues in my life. But if I'm hungry for God, if I'm hungry for his presence, if I can get to the table to eat, then health is going to come into my life. Where can we buy bread for these people to eat? As if this kind of thing can be bought. Because the kind of nourishment that I'm talking about, the kind of spiritual satisfaction, the kind of holy rest that can come into your life, it cannot be bought with money. It cannot be bought with good works. It cannot be bought with coins or bills or crypto or credit card. It has to be found in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible said, verse number 6, that he asked this. Jesus asked this only to test him. But he already knew, he already had in mind what he was going to do. He only asked Philip this because not only is he trying to bless the people that are coming his direction, he's also trying to teach Philip a lesson. He's trying to build Philip's faith. He's trying to train the disciples. So he asked this question, "Where shall we buy bread?" But he already had in mind what he was going to do. I don't know about you today, but I am comforted that Jesus already has ideas for my future. I'm encouraged by the fact that whatever it is I'm facing and whatever it is I'm dealing with and whatever it is I'm going through, Jesus already has a way of escape planned out for me. I may not even know yet that I need out of this mess. I may not have even come to my senses yet. It may not have even dawned on me yet that I need to be delivered. But Jesus is just sitting back saying, as soon as he wakes up, as soon as she comes back to herself, I've already moved heaven and earth. I've already lined up people for them to be blessed because Jesus already has a plan, already has in mind what he is going to do. I don't know about you, but it feels like the right time to just praise break and say, thank you, Lord, for already knowing. Thank you for having my deliverance and my miracle on your mind. It's only a test anyway. Maybe the Lord is asking you questions or pointing out areas of challenge in your life. You know, it's only a test. He's just trying to see if you're learning, if you're growing, if you're becoming. I appreciated Ramiah's honesty. I didn't like the test. The test stressed me out. The tests were a pressure. I remember I was struggling in a particular subject, and I was spending hours studying, and Cohen was honest. I don't care for that. I don't like that. And I feel you, man. But I was doing that because I wanted a better grade. I needed to solve this and settle this. And I remember going to the teacher. I remember my mom coming and us meeting with the teacher, and the teacher was asking those questions, you know, tell me how much you're studying, tell me how much time you're putting in. And so she said, I want you to do something this next week before the test on Friday. I want you to listen in class. I want you to take notes. I want you to pay good attention to everything that I'm teaching, but I don't want you to spend 1 minute studying for the test. Well, that's different because, you know, all that's been driven is study, 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 and spend hours and all of that. But I did it just like she said, and I paid attention in class, and I took the notes, and I studied everything that was on the board while she was lecturing and talking. And then we got to test day, and somehow in some way I aced the test. I technically did not study, but I had learned. I didn't spend any time cramming the night before, but I had paid attention all through the week. And I can't help but feel like that may be a lesson for somebody in this room that spends your time cramming and trying to just get it all in at the last minute. And the Lord is saying, you know, if you would just daily walk with me, if you would just daily be in my Word, instead of trying to get to December and cram the whole year's Bible reading program into 2 days, you know you're not going to get it done. Just daily be in my Word. Just live this every single day. And then when those tests come, when those challenges come, you don't even realize it, but you've got a knowledge in you. You've learned something. You've grown. You've matured. You've become who it is that God has destined for you to be. And you start passing every test that life can throw your way. I believe that the Lord wants us to recognize that you and me, within ourselves, we do not have the answer. We need God. We need him. We need him. But look at verse 7. Philip answers. It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Jesus is speaking, you know, metaphorically. Jesus is trying to get him to understand the bigger picture and the greater point. And Philip is over here just all analytical and logical in his mind saying, Lord, I mean, have you seen how much it costs to live these days? Have you seen the prices at the grocery store? We could spend half a year's wages and all people would get is one bite of food. Can you imagine? Can you imagine waiting all day and all you get is one bite? What if you go to the restaurant today and you order a cheeseburger and they just bring you a bite of cheeseburger? What if you order the steak and they just bring you one little bite of steak? There you go. Just what you asked for. There you go. Hope you're satisfied. No, I'm not satisfied. No, no, no. No, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I was looking for. But let me tell you something. Life has a way of on until I priced it. Stay at home, Ramiah, as long as you can. Stay home, Cohen, as long as they'll let you. Life is going to invite you to chase happiness and never tell you what it cost. You'll chase after this and you'll run after that. And you'll turn around one day and realize, wait a minute, I'm in debt. This has cost me more than I ever dreamed it could cost me. What were you doing? I was just chasing happiness. I was just chasing what everybody said I had to have and what everyone said I needed. And I was just trying to keep up with them and run alongside of those. And I didn't realize that everything was adding up and everything was costing me and everything. I don't know if you ever been on one of those cruises. Kristen and I went on a cruise for our honeymoon almost 22 years ago. And when we arrived on the cruise, you know, they took an imprint of my credit card, and then they handed us a key card, and they said, you know, all of your charges, everything, you just use this key card. Anything you need to buy, just use this key card. And you know, you get a few days into a cruise, and I don't know, it just seems like when you're using a key card that you're not spending money. But guess what? I nearly lost my lunch when I found out how much that key card cost. Because we just busy having a good time thinking it wasn't costing us anything because we just swiping a key card. It's a whole different thing when you're pulling out cash money. And sometimes life, emotionally, spiritually, all of that can feel the same way when you're just spending as fast as you can, but not refilling the tank and not nourishing your spirit. Man, is this word helping anybody today? I want to charge graduates, but I want to remind everybody in this room today how important our appetite is. I don't want to chase this and run after that. I don't want to love him or fall for her, miss my moment. I want to hunger for righteousness because that is where fulfillment comes. I don't want to work all year long and only end up with a bite. The Bible said that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. I don't want to go far and end up with nothing but sadness. I want to get filled in the way that only God can fill me. Not interested in hors d'oeuvres, appetizers. They took me to one of these tapas restaurants. You ever heard of a tapas? It's crazy. I'm against it. I don't believe in it. They just bring you a plate that's got two or three bites and they encourage you to share with everybody else at the table. It's just two or three bites. I can't share. Not enough here for me and everybody else. It's what life wants to just convince us we can live on the tapas. We can live on a bite. We can just have a bite of spirituality every now and then. No, I've got to have a steady diet of this. I've got to have one experience after another in the presence of the Lord. I'm not living on an hors d'oeuvre of spiritual blessing. I want a full meal. I want this every Sunday. I want to be in a small group. I want to get daily in the Word and daily in prayer. I want to make sure there is a steady diet of God's goodness and God's blessing and God's strength in my life. I don't want to miss a meal. I don't want to miss an opportunity to grow in the things of God. So here comes another of his disciples, verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he spoke up. I love this. Andrew was not known for his boldness per se. His brother Peter was known for boldness, and yet Andrew was so consequential to the growth of the early church. Andrew was so instrumental in building, you know, the ministry and the legacy of Jesus, if I can say it that way. It was Andrew who came to Jesus first and said, "Hey, you think I'm a convert? You ought to meet my brother. He's probably in a fight somewhere right now. But if we can land my brother, if we can get my brother into the fold, if we can get my brother into the church." And so Peter comes as well. Andrew spoke up. Andrew spoke up. Everybody's just committed to minding their own business. But listen, food is everyone's business. Revival is everyone's business. Miracles are everyone's business. Breakthrough is my business. And Andrew says, "Lord, I heard you and Philip talking about food. There is a boy over here. There is a lad," the King James says in verse 9. "He's got 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. I heard y'all talking about food, and I've just been talking to the people and building relationship with the people and meeting people and just observing these people who are coming from far and wide. And while I was meeting people, Lord, there is a boy, there is a young man, there is a young woman. I was in the crowd, Lord, and I saw Cohen Kitchens. He had a sack lunch. I was in the crowd, Lord, and I saw Ramiah Branch. I was out there in the crowd, and there they were, Lord, with their brown bag. There they were, Lord, with their lunch. 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. I saw them out there, Lord, with their lunch. I saw them. I got good news and I've got bad news. I saw them with food, but what they have is not enough. I saw them with brown bags, but there's no way that what is in their bag, there's no way that what's in their bag is going to be enough to satisfy everybody in this room. There's no way that the little bit of prayer in their bag, there's no way that the little bit of food in their bag. You see, that's what the enemy wants us to believe, because even Andrew would say, what is that among so many people? That amount is not consequential. That amount is not effective. That amount is not going to get the job done. And we start feeling like all I have is this little bit of prayer. It's not going to be enough. All I have is this little offering. It's not going to be enough. All I have is this just enough talent to fit down into this bag. That talent is not going to be enough to make a difference. Listen, by itself, whatever you can fit into this bag is only going to be enough to last for a little while. But if I can invest this into the hand of the Lord, if I can invest this, if I can invest my little bit. Listen to me, Cohen. Listen to me, Ramiah. Listen to me, a few hundred other graduates in this room. If you can ever give what you have to God, I promise you, he can turn your little bit into everything you need, plus enough to bless everybody else. Tell me about your little offering. When you give your little offering and somebody else gives theirs, it's amazing how it all adds up. Tell me about your little bit of talent. No, I don't have anything to offer. No, you do have something to offer. That's the enemy wanting you just to throw your lunch away, wanting you just to hide your sack somewhere else. No, come on, invest your life. Invest yourself into the presence of the Lord. Invest what you have into the goodness of God and watch him turn it into more. just five loaves. It's just two fish. How far will that go among so many?" Listen, I'm not mad at Andrew. Andrew is asking a logical question. He's asking a question based in reality. He's asking a question rooted in fact. I get it. I'm not mad at Andrew. But I need some people with faith in my life. I need people that can see beyond the fact and can see beyond the reality of my circumstance. Oh, Pastor Darrell, are you trying to advocate for some, you know, just fantasy land kind of faith? No. I know my two feet are planted right here on this floor. I know the reality. I'm living in fact, but at some point, you have to believe that eye has not seen, an ear has not heard, and it's not even entered into the heart of man, the things that are possible with God. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I can see everything in this bag. I know about how far it will go. So now, Lord, I need to put it into your hand so that you can make more out of it than I ever dreamed possible. I'm not saying that Andrew is negative. He's not negative, but you may have some people in your life who are negative. You may have some people in your life who are saying, you know, you're wasting your time going to church. You're wasting your time going to college. You're wasting your time getting that degree. It's not going to add up to anything. It's not going to amount to anything. Just go and do whatever we've always done. Just go follow the same path that we've always followed. Respectfully, they may be related to you. You may love them a whole lot. They may make incredible fried chicken, but I give you permission to deviate from what is expected. I give you permission to love them, but just smile and say, "Thank you, Grandma. Mama, thank you, auntie, thank you, whomever is trying to keep me from becoming everything that God has destined for me to become. I give you permission to disobey their expectation. Be respectful, be loving, be kind, but be anointed in 2023 and do for God what He wants you to do and what He's calling you to do in your life. Pack a lunch, pack a lunch, pack a lunch. I'm hurrying to my close. I love Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, he said, get wisdom. And in all your getting, I know wisdom is not all you're going to get, but in all you're getting, everything that you're going to pack into your sack, everything that you're going to pack into your lunch, in all of your getting. So let me ask you, graduates, let me ask you, moms and dads and friends and family and people here on a Sunday morning, what are you going to put in your bag? What are you going to add to your sack? Maybe you're new to the church, Covington. Maybe you've just started growing here. What is it that God is speaking to you? What is it that He's calling for you to add to your life? Look at somebody and tell them, pack a lunch. Pack a lunch. I'm gonna add. So I three things very quickly. I don't have time to teach or preach these, but in asking you what you will put in your bag, I hope, graduates, I hope, Ramiah, I hope, Cole, and I hope everyone in this room will put some inspiration into your bag. What do you mean, inspiration? Well, it's twofold. Because God is our inspiration. It's a creative word. It's a word rooted in creativity, but also spirit is a part of this word. I challenge you, I encourage you to start there. Start with His Spirit. Have a plan. SCAD, Georgia State, nursing, graphic design, all kinds of ideas and plans and wishes. Keep all of those, but start with His Spirit. Start with inspiration and passion for the things of God. Then, according to His leading, allow other people to inspire you and to spur you on toward love and good deeds, Paul told Timothy. Next, I hope you will add some integrity to your sack. I need inspiration, but I need integrity in my sack. It's an old-fashioned concept, and it should go without saying, but that isn't the case because everything is filtered now. We are the masked generation. And honesty is lost among us. We watch our presidents, said with an S, and our politicians lie to us daily. The media, journalism is a joke. And it's trickled down to the day-to-day, just common man. And it's hard to know who's being straight with you. Integrity. Put integrity in the bag. To be honest in your dealings. To be honest in how you handle life. Hunger for that. And there's one more. This is odd, but I couldn't get away from it all week long as I prepared to charge our graduates and speak to you today. Inspiration, integrity, but this word inquisitive kept coming to me. Inquisitive. Put some inquisitive down into that bag. Put some curiosity. If you're inquisitive, then you are curious. You're interested, you're intrigued, you ask questions, you crave knowledge, and you want to learn. And you know what? That's a great approach to life. It's a great approach to your future. Don't just take whatever you're told as the gospel. Study. I'm sorry, Cohen, life's going to demand you continue to study. Sorry, Maya, but life is going to continue to take tests. They're not always fun. Some are harder than others. But get inquisitive. Research. Understand. Prove it for yourself. And you'll get a few years from here and you'll say, you know what? Somehow, in some way, I am grounded. And my life is established. And God has blessed. God has blessed. Cohen, would you come get this? Ramiah, would you come get this? Donnie, give me some others. It's not just you. I'm sorry, it's an empty bag. You're going to have a full box out there, though. Prized possession. Fantastic. But guess what? There's a bunch of you today that you need to determine. Get one of those and pass it around if you don't mind. Start passing those back after you get one. You need to figure out what you're going to put in your lunch. What are you going to put in your lunch? What is God going to do? Pass some of those if you don't mind. Pass some of those if you don't mind. What are you going to put in your lunch? What are you going to add to your life? What are you going to believe God to do in your life? What are you going to trust God to do in your life? What are you going to ask Him to do? We got plenty of bags. They're coming. What are you going to believe God for in your life? Maybe you feel like your life is all messed up right now. You're saying, oh, I wish I could be Ramiah. I wish I could be Cohen. I wish I could be 18 or 17. I wish I could be starting it all over. I ran after this and ran after that. I chased her. I chased him. I did it all wrong. I wish I could go back to 18 and graduation day. I wish I could start it all over. I would do things so differently. Probably every single one of us would. But we also know that's not possible. You know what is possible? Starting over from right where you are. You know what today is? Today is the first day of the rest of my life. It's the first day of the rest of my life. I don't know why Harvard is not asking me to give the commencement address. I don't know. This is pretty good, isn't it? I don't know why Yale has not asked me to come and charge their graduates. I got a word for you. I got a message for you. You can begin right now living the life that God has destined for you to live. Would you stand with me across the room? Everybody get a bag. You got a lunch. Don't miss it. There's more. They're giving them. Father, You've invited us to this buffet. You've invited us to this spiritual smorgasbord of options and opportunities, blessing and possibility. I don't want to miss anything, Lord. I don't want to miss anything that You have planned for me. I want to build my life, Lord, upon You. I want to orient my life around You. I don't want to miss my moment. There's somebody in this room, Lord, that they need to put forgiveness in their bag. They need to put deliverance in their bag. Somebody needs to be free today in Your presence. Collectively, Lord, we repent of our sin. We are sorry, Lord, for every wrong choice, every wrong move, every wrong turn. Whether we knew it was wrong or we didn't, we want to be forgiven today and made new in Your presence. Today we put deliverance in this bag. What, Lord, are You trying to free us from? He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Today I am free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Say it one time.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation.
Here it is,
I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Today, I'm happy to hang here for a few moments and pray with you today and bless you and just trust God with you for His grace and His goodness in your life. We've got reception happening here in just a moment. Stop by that. Wish these graduates well. Bless them today. And I'm going to be baptizing next Sunday. I know it's picnic and fun, but if you want to be baptized next Sunday, man, put baptism in your bag. Put it in your bag. If you're making a decision today, if you're saying yes to Jesus today, don't miss either side of the auditorium. Yes banners, grab one of these books, Following Jesus. It's just next steps. It's where to go from here. What do I need to do now? If you're online with us today, text the word discover. Text discover to 404-777-4701. That's on your screen right now. Make sure we get your email address and this book will land in your inbox in just a couple of minutes. Amen. Let us resource you. Let us walk with you. Let us help you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, bless your people today. Bless our coming and our going in Jesus' name. We declare and we are grateful, Lord, for you in our lives. We say it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We love you.